You'll notice again this morning that in your bulletin we've included some teaching notes to go along with the message as we continue in this series on a disciple's path. And today our focus is on the third week of our study and focused on the priority of presence. And as I was reading our workbook this week, I was reminded of a meeting that I had about a year and a half ago that would not have been possible 10 years ago. When I was serving as a district superintendent, I invited the Staff Parish Relations Committee of Trinity Church in New Cumberland to come to the conference office to meet their new pastor and his family. Well, when they got there, the new pastor and family were not physically present, but we had the meeting just the same. We all sat around a conference table here in Mechanicsburg, and soon we saw the smiling faces of Reverend Arun and Miriam Andrews and their children on the screen in front of us. They were in their family room in India. And we had a remarkable conversation. Arun is a pastor in the Methodist Church of India, and he shared the story of his call to serve here in the United States. And then he and Miriam and the children even blessed us that evening with a song that they sang. I've never seen a Staff Parish Relations Committee so delighted to meet their new pastor. And it was truly an amazing experience. There we were on opposite sides of the globe, and yet it was as if we were in the same room. Now, maybe some of you have had conversations like that via Skype or FaceTime or whatever. Our information technology today allows us to connect with each other as never before, with cell phones and computers and other devices, we can connect 24/7 if we want to. This past week, I've connected via telephone, cell phone, email, text message, Facebook, web page, FaceTime, and maybe some other ways too. And I'm sure that many of you as well have made connection using all the possibilities that we now have. I was once in a worship service where the preacher invited the congregation to text questions and comments during her sermon. And at the end of the service, she pulled out her cell phone and went down through and responded to them. And it was very risky, but actually it was pretty effective. I better pray a lot before I do that. Well, today, as I said, we are connected as never before. And yet, the very technology created to connect us can also create a distance between us. In fact, with all of these possibilities to connect as never before, there is a sense that many in our society today are disconnected. And we know that email cannot replace a face-to-face conversation. And we know that a text will never be as effective as a handshake or a hug. And we know that the conversation on Skype that night could not compare to that first real-life tearful greeting between Pastor Arun and the members of his congregation. In our Disciples' Path study this week, we have seen how critically important it is as we follow Jesus in this world that we are making connections with other followers of Jesus. In fact, James Harnish, who wrote our study, said this: "We can be religious or spiritual without the presence of other people in our lives, but we cannot grow as disciples of Jesus Christ without the encouragement, guidance, wisdom and accountability of other disciples. Being a disciple of Jesus means being in fellowship with other followers of Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us that fellowship is something more than just hanging out with people for a while. Fellowship is more than just being with friends and socializing. Fellowship, in the biblical sense, means that we are experiencing life together. In fact, in the deepest sense, fellowship means that we are having soul-to-soul connections with each other within the church. Now, the New Testament gives us some powerful word pictures to help us understand what this fellowship looks like in the church. And I invite you to focus with me briefly this morning on four of these word pictures. These pictures are saying, in effect, being spiritually connected as a disciple of Jesus looks like this. Now, you'll notice that as we go through these passages together, that I've underlined all of the places where it says you are or we are. And I did that because I wanted to emphasize that when biblical writers talk about being connected, they always do so in the present tense. What they want us to see is that we are already connected. And they use these images to help us to understand and to live into the connections that we already have within the church. So, what is it like to be spiritually connected? Well, first of all, it's like being a brick in a building. Remember back Ephesians chapter 2 that we looked at last summer. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Now those words, joined together and built together, really describe who we are in the church. Over the years, I've been blessed to serve churches while they were in the midst of building projects. And there were always many challenges, but there was also this feeling of excitement as what we had envisioned on paper began to take shape in the form of the building. And it was remarkable, too, to see everything that would go on behind the scenes of construction. So many different materials, all being carefully connected in the right place at the right time by the builders. And I know that some of you were here when the latest building addition took place, and you know what that excitement is like. Ephesians is telling us here that we are God's building project. And in the church, we all have different parts, and all of these different parts are being joined together through the Holy Spirit in Christ. God has carefully chosen you and me, Ephesians tells us, to be his church at this place and at this time. God is undertaking a building project, and you and I are an integral part of it. In a building, the connected parts support each other. And it is essential that you and I be connected to each other as we undertake the work of building up the church. Now, a second image the New Testament uses for our spiritual connection is that we are like a member of a body. Now, this is a familiar image of the church found in Romans as well as 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, though we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." Now, those short verses are really packed with a whole lot of truth. And there are several things that we might briefly point out. One is that in the body, there are many parts. Everyone unique. Everyone important. God made you uniquely you so that you could play your part in building up the body. Just as there are many parts, so Paul tells us also that each member has a different function. Not all the parts do the same thing. He also tells us that every member is needed to make the body whole. We're all needed in the body of Christ. Some parts of the body are very small, and yet they're still needed. It's like in our home, the most important light in the home is not the chandelier that hangs over the dining room table. It's the little night light that shines at night and keeps me from stubbing my toe when I'm walking around in the dark. And so it is that there are no little people in the body of Christ. And apart from the body, Paul tells us, individual members are incomplete. When you're disconnected, when you're apart from the body, he says, you're not able to completely experience all that God desires in your life as a disciple. And so in a healthy body, in the church, when it is healthy, all the parts are recognizing their unique role and working together for the building up of the whole. Now, a third image in the New Testament is another familiar one. It's being a sheep in a flock. We are sheep in a flock. Now, in a flock, the sheep belong to the shepherd. The Bible reminds us of that frequently when it uses this image of us. Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And in Psalm 23, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." All that we are and all that we have belongs to God, our shepherd. This image also reminds us that in a flock, sheep are protected and cared for. It's important for us to stay close to the others in the flock, so that there we can be protected and cared for. One of the great functions in the church is our care for one another. The Bible uses this phrase over and over again that we are to care, to love, to encourage, to support one another. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, the apostle writes, "Take care of God's flock, His people that you are responsible for." And this is not just a responsibility that is given to those who are pastors or part of the staff in caring ministry, but for all of us, we are called in our connections to care for each other because we belong to God and we belong to each other. And then there is this fourth image of our connection. And that is that being connected is like being a member of a family. Back in Ephesians chapter 2 again, it says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God." We're God's family. In some generations past, and even in some places today, members of the church will refer to each other as brother and sister. And that's appropriate because we really are related to one another as part of God's family. Now, why did God choose family as an illustration to help us understand who we are within the body of Christ? Because in a family, we are called to love one another. The Bible uses a lot of words for you when you get connected. It calls you a brick in God's building. It calls you a member of Christ's body. It calls you a sheep in God's flock. And it calls you a member of God's family. There are so many different images, and we could lift up a number of others. And every one is intended to help us to understand that along the disciples' path, it is so critically important for us to be in fellowship with other disciples. I need you. You need me. We need each other if we are continued to grow in our love for Christ and in our love for all the people that He brings into our lives. Now, in our study, two ways are lifted up for making those connections. Making presence a priority means connecting in worship, and it also means connecting in small groups. There in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 23, the writer says how important it is that we hold fast to our confession in Christ, and emphasizes that an important part of that is as we would meet together. When I was serving at First Church in Hanover, we installed a new heating and air conditioning, and the project was supposed to be completed before the winter weather set in, but of course there was some delay, and the cold weather came, and we had no heat in the sanctuary. We had no heat for the entire winter, but we still had church. And we asked that people would dress warm, and some brought winter coats and some brought blankets into the sanctuary. And I was truly amazed because over those months, our average attendance exceeded what it had during that same period the year before. And I'll never forget this one older woman in her early 80s. Came in all wrapped in a blanket one Sunday, and she said, "Pastor Denny, if I waited until Sunday morning to decide whether to come to church or not, I would not be here. But I made the decision years ago that worship was going to be my first priority every Sunday. And so no matter what the weather, no matter whether it's hot or cold in the sanctuary, I'm going to be here. Because being here, she said, makes all the difference in my life. She knew how critically important it is for us to be connected. It was her lifeline. Her week was not the same if she didn't worship and participate in her small group. And so she was present. She was fully present from week to week. When you joined the church, you made a commitment to support First Church with your presence. With your presence in worship, with your involvement in small groups, so that you could have the support and fellowship of others. And I wonder, as you remember who you are in Christ, as part of this church, what is your next faithful step? How will you continue to grow on the journey? How will you make presence in worship a priority in your life? You may notice that we've created a space back there under the balcony for prayer. And I think we called attention to that last week when Pastor Lisa talked about prayer in her message. And I would invite you again today, if you feel that there's something that you need prayer for, or if you would just like a space to be quiet and reflect on what you've experienced in worship today, to take some time and to be in God's presence there in our prayer space. Let us all continue to rejoice in the ties that bind us together in Christ. Amen.